Good morning. I don't know Owen. I knew he was going to be baptized this morning, but when he threw his hands up, all I could think of was the Ethiopian eunuch. I mean, it says the Ethiopian eunuch went on his way rejoicing, and I've never seen that before. It was great. I'm glad I was here. I wanted to thank everyone here personally for your prayers. Preceding my surgery and during it, for the visits and the cards, it's really meant a lot. I told someone the other day, when you make out a card and you send it to somebody, it doesn't really seem like a big deal, but when you're the receiver of that, it is a huge deal. It is greatly appreciated. I love you guys, and I want to give God praise in front of the congregation. He answered a prayer for me, and I'm still not back 100%. I'm trying to regain my strength, but it's working good. So I just appreciate everyone who has visited or inquired or sent a card. I'd like for you to open your Bible to 2 Kings if you've got a Bible with you. I don't have an overhead presentation. I want to look at 2 Kings chapter 22 and verses 1 through 20. And I appreciated Steve reading for us this morning in the reading from Isaiah. I'd like for, and that was chapter 55, verses 6 through 11. If you would just think about the words of the prophet from God. And God said that your ways are not my ways. And your thoughts are not my thoughts. He says, my ways and my thoughts are much higher than yours. And we forget that. We forget that sometimes. We forget that God is God. He's the creator, and we're the created. I mean, the scripture says we don't even know how to pray like we ought to pray, but the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, makes intercession for us. It's like when we say thank you to God, it is so insufficient, but it's the only words that we have. And there's times when it almost seems fruitless to say it because of what God has done for us. His ways are not our ways, and His thoughts are not our thoughts. But he told the prophet to tell the people, and it's so true today. He said, if my word is sent out, it will not return to me void. If my word is sent out, it will not return to me void. And our reading in 2 Timothy 4, 1 through 4, Paul's exhortation to a young gospel preacher. He said, just preach the word. That's all you've got to do. He said, there's a time coming when people are not going to want to listen to sound doctrine. But they're going to gather up people that they want to hear, people that will tell them what they want to hear, scratch their ears, and they'll listen to them and turn away from the truth. And that has happened in varying degrees all through the history of mankind ever since time began. Every generation could make the same statement. We've walked away from God. We've walked away from God. And that is true. I mean, in our society today, we can see we're reaping the fruit of the seed that has been sown of walking away from God. I remember the first time I went up here to the primary school building, and I was up there for an event they were having, and all of a sudden I decided I needed the restroom, and I hadn't been up there in years. And I walked up to the door to go into the building, and when I got a hold of the door, it was locked. And I had no idea. I said, when did we have to start locking the doors to the school building? And then I realized what a foolish question that was. But those are the fruits of walking away from God. You know, there's people who can remember a time when you didn't even lock the door to your house. You didn't worry about it. But it's not like that now. A lot of you sitting here have got security systems on your home. You're afraid even when you're in your home. And that is the fruits of walking away from God. We've seen this true with the children of Israel as we study the Old Testament. First and Second Kings gives us a history of the kings and who they were and how they served. I hope you'll excuse my pronunciation of names here this morning. I don't think it's important as far as the content. I'll stumble over them, most of them. If you want proper pronunciations, I know that probably Steve or Jason can do that for you. It says Josiah was 8 years old when he became king, and he reigned 31 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Jediah, the daughter of Adaiah of Bozkath. And he did right in the sight of the Lord, and he walked in all the way of his father David, nor did he turn aside to the right or to the left. And it came about in the 18th year of King Josiah that the king sent Shaphan the son of Azaliah, the son of Meshullam the scribe, to the house of the Lord, saying, "Go up to Hilkiah the high priest, that he may count the money brought into the house of the Lord, which the doorkeepers have gathered from the people. Let them deliver it into the hand of the workmen who have the oversight of the house of the Lord, and let them give it to the workmen who are in the house of the Lord to repair the damages of the house, to the carpenters, to the builders, and the masons for buying timber and hewn stone to repair the house. Only no accounting shall be made with them for the money delivered into their hands, for they deal faithfully." So just one of the many times that God's house had to be repaired. But this time, there's something that happens, and it begins in verse 8. It says, "Hilkiah the high priest said to Shaphan the scribe, 'I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord.' And Hilkiah gave the book to Shaphan, who read it. And Shaphan the scribe came to the king and brought back word to the king and said, 'Your servants have emptied out the money that was found in the house and had delivered it into the hand of the workmen who have the oversight of the house of the Lord.' Moreover, Shaphan the scribe told the king, saying, 'Hilkiah the priest has given me a book.' And Shaphan read it in the presence of the king. And it came about when the king heard the words of the book of the law that he tore his clothes. The king commanded Hilkiah the priest, Ahiakim the son of Shaphan, Achbor the son of Micaiah, Shaphan the scribe, and Asaiah the king's servant, saying, 'Go inquire of the Lord for me and the people and all Judah concerning the words of this book that has been found. For great is the wrath of the Lord that burns against us, because our fathers have not listened to the words of this book to do according to all that is written concerning us.'" As Josiah hears the reading of the law, it says that he grabbed a hold of his clothes and he tore them apart. He was hearing something that he hadn't heard, and he said, to paraphrase, "We're in big trouble. We're in big trouble. I need you to go inquire of God about what's going to happen." He says that great is the wrath of the Lord that burns against us, because our fathers have not listened to the words of this book to do according to all that is written concerning us. When it got laid aside, we don't know. It happens a little bit at a time. It just goes away a little bit at a time. The edge comes off. And people get lax. And then all of a sudden, they don't even hear it anymore. They hear the speaking of other people, just like Paul told Timothy. Just this week, I read a piece on the internet, Hillary Clinton approves of gay marriages. And I thought, who cares? I mean, like, I don't care. You know, and our state congressman just 2 or 3 weeks ago, he comes out, he's okay with gay marriage. I mean, who cares? Because God said in his word, what? That people engaged in that lifestyle will have a place in the lake of fire, which is the second death. It doesn't matter what we say. Why? Because our ways are not God's ways. And our thoughts are not God's thoughts. It just doesn't matter. And Josiah realized that. He tore his clothing apart and he says, "Great is the wrath of the Lord that burns against us, because our fathers have not listened to the words of this book to do according to all that is written concerning us." I don't know where your Bible is at, and I don't know how much you use it. It should be the most important thing in your life. It really should. It should be the most important thing in your life. It should show use. It should show wear. It should show when you talk. It should show in the actions that you take. It should show in the way that you live your life. Not by some popular author. Not by your pulpit minister. Not by your elders. Not by your deacons. Your life should be an example of what you're reading and studying from God's Word every day. We're all engaged in activity every day. And what happens is we get to the place that the children of Israel had gotten to. We get so far away from the Word that when we hear it, it shocks us. And we don't know what to do about the place where we're at. So they go and they speak to Huldah, the prophetess. And she says in verse 16, "Thus says the Lord, behold, I will bring evil on this place and on its inhabitants, even all the words of the book which the king of Judah has read, because they have forsaken me and have burned incense to other gods, that they might provoke me to anger with all the work of their hands. Therefore, my wrath burns against this place, and it shall not be quenched. But to the king of Judah, who sent you to inquire of the Lord, thus shall you say to him, thus says the Lord of Israel, regarding the words which you have heard, because your heart was tender, and you humbled yourself before the Lord when you heard what I spoke against this place and against its inhabitants, that they should become a desolation and a curse, and you have torn your clothes and wept before me. I truly have heard you, declares the Lord. Therefore, behold, I will gather you to your fathers. You shall be gathered to your grave in peace. Neither shall your eyes see all the evil which I will bring on this place." So they brought back word to the king. Well, there was going to be a consequence, but Josiah had done something for himself. And what was that? He repented. And he showed great humility. And he said, "Go and find out what God has to say." That's where his inquiry went. His inquiry went to where, "I want to know what God has to say." And it says that God saw that he humbled himself, that he had torn his clothes, and he says, "Because of this, you're not going to see this happen. It's going to happen, but you're not going to see it happen. You will go to your grave in peace." So I'd like to turn over to the New Testament in Matthew 15. I'd like for us to look at verses 1 through 9. These are the words of Christ. he dips back into the prophet Isaiah at the very end of this reading. It says, some Pharisees and scribes came to Jesus from Jerusalem saying, "Why do your disciples transgress the tradition of the elders, for they do not wash their hands when they eat bread?" He answered and said to them, "Why do you yourselves transgress the commandment of God for the sake of your tradition? For God said, 'Honor your father and mother,' and he who speaks evil of father or mother, let him be put to death. But you say, 'Whoever shall say to his father or mother, anything of mine you might have been helped by has been given to God,' he is not to honor his father or his mother. And thus you invalidated the word of God for the sake of your tradition." So Jesus says to them, you've created a tradition, and with your tradition that you've created, you've invalidated the word of God. And what they were doing was trying to get out of spending money on their parents. The word they used was Corban. They said it's been dedicated. It wasn't really given to God. It was just dedicated to God. So I can't do anything for you, Mom and Dad, even though that's what God said for them to do. I can't do anything for you, Mom and Dad, because it's Corban. It's devoted to God. "You hypocrites, rightly did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, 'This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far away from me. But in vain they do worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men.'" And that happens a lot today. There's teaching everywhere. There's teaching going on everywhere today. But a lot of times the doctrine that's being taught is not the word of God, but it is a commandment from a man. And Jesus said, "Well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, 'This people honors me with their lips.'" People talk about God all the time. They talk about things of God, but their heart, what's really motivating them, is far from him. Josiah's heart was near to God. It says that he did what was right. And when he heard the word, what did he do? He took action. It says he tore his clothes. And he said, "Go inquire from God about all of these things. What's going to happen?" And then in Matthew 19, and 1 through 9. "It came about when Jesus had finished these words, he departed from Galilee and came into the region of Judea beyond the Jordan. Great multitudes followed him, and he healed them there. And some Pharisees came to him, testing him and saying, 'Is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife for any cause at all?' And he answered and said, 'Have you not read?'" That was a good reply, wasn't it? Here comes the Pharisees, you know, the leading Jews. They ask Jesus a question, and his answer is, "Have you not read? Why are you asking me this question? Haven't you read?" "He who created them from the beginning made them male and female, and said, 'For this cause a man shall leave his father and mother, shall cleave to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. Consequently, they are no longer two, but one flesh.'" Listen to this final sentence. "What therefore God has joined together, let no man separate." What God has joined together, let no man separate. "Haven't you read?" Jesus said. that in the beginning he made them male and female? And he said, for this cause, a man shall leave his father and mother, shall cleave to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. I came home from work one day, and Gabe was, well, he was just about done with college. He was engaged, Mandy, and he was standing outside, out back, with his mom. And I got out of my truck, and I could see something was happening. I said, what's going on? I mean, I'll never forget the words I used. I said, I looked right at him. I said, what's going on? And his reply was, I'm leaving. I mean, it was like I was hitting the head with a ball bat. I knew what he meant. I knew what he was saying. But I just couldn't swallow it. I'm like, I mean, I didn't say nothing, but I'm like to myself, what do you mean you're leaving? Like, couldn't we have eased into this? I just drive home and you're standing outside, you're leaving. Like, you're not even eating supper with me tonight? I mean, what's going on? But that's the way it's supposed to be, isn't it? That's a big part of the problem that's going on in our society today. That's a huge part of the problem with marriage. The people that get married never leave, and they're never allowed to leave. They're still our babies. We've got to keep them under our thumb and micromanage their marriage like we tried to micromanage everything else in their life, and they need left alone. See, our ways are not God's ways. He said for that man to leave and cleave to his wife, and they were to become one flesh. And he said, what God has joined together, no one is to separate them. But they come up with, well, why did Moses then command to give her a certificate of divorce and send her away? Look what his answer is. Because of the hardness of your heart. Because of the hardness of your heart. You won't listen. You won't do what God asked to be done because of the hardness of your heart. Moses permitted you to divorce your wives. But from the beginning, it's not been this way. It was never God's intention. From the beginning, it wasn't this way. Hey, if anybody could have had an argument and said we are incompatible, think about Adam and Eve. I mean, seriously, think about Adam and Eve. It was paradise. Like Adam could have started on Eve. You know what? If you'd never listened to that serpent, and if you'd have never given me that piece of fruit, I wouldn't be out here slaving like I'm slaving every day in this hot sun and these briars coming up. And our son would have never killed our other son, and on and on and on he could have gone. But that is not what happened. That's not what happened. I don't know how they worked through all those things. But that's not what happened. It didn't happen. Jesus says, listen, the words of the Son of God. I say to you, whoever divorces his wife except for immorality and marries another woman commits adultery. Moses let us divorce our wives. Jesus, that was because of the hardness of your heart. But from the beginning, it's not been this way. It was never God's intention. And I say to you, whoever divorces his wife, except for immorality, and marries another woman, commits adultery. Well, we're way far away from that in our society today. There's still some people that believe that. That's why we need to be reading the Word. That's why we need to be reading the Word. And I'm just giving some examples here. Look at Matthew 22 and 23, verse 23. On the same day, some Sadducees who say there is no resurrection came to him and questioned him, saying, "Teacher, Moses said, if a man dies having no children, his brother, as next of kin, shall marry his wife and raise up an offspring to his brother." So they're going to give him this hypothetical situation. They're trying to prove their point that there's no resurrection from the dead. That's what they're driving at here. The Sadducees did not believe in the resurrection from the dead. So what they're driving at, their point is they're trying to prove there's no resurrection from the dead with their hypothetical situation. They cite Moses' commandment that if a brother dies, then the next brother in line marries his wife to raise up children in his name. It says, "There were seven brothers with us. The first married and died, and having no offspring, left his wife to his brother. So also the second and the third, down to the seventh, and last of all, the woman died. So, in the resurrection, therefore, whose wife of the seven shall she be? For they all had her." Jesus answered and said to them, "You are mistaken. You are mistaken. You don't understand the Scripture, and you don't understand the power of God." I was pretty straight to the point. He said, "You're wrong. You're mistaken. Number one, you don't understand the Scripture. And number two, you don't understand the power of God. You're mistaken." I don't get Duck Dynasty on my TV. But I've watched it, a couple of those YouTube videos. Who's the older guy, Don, the dad? What's his name? Huh? Phil. Yeah. Jason Foster sent a video out on Facebook of Phil preaching. Man, that guy, he preaches like they used to preach. He's got that book up. He's a little bit loud. And man, he is to the point. I'm like, I forget all about the beard and the camo and everything about him. Because I'm listening to what he says. And that's the way that the Lord was. And it says, they said time and time again, they were amazed, and it will say it here. They were astonished at his teaching. He taught as one who had authority. Not like the scribes and the Pharisees, but the Lord taught as one who had authority. "You are mistaken, not understanding the Scriptures or the power of God. For in the resurrection, they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are like angels in heaven. But regarding the resurrection of the dead..." And he asked that same question again. "Have you not read?" He asked that same question. "Have you not read that which was spoken to you by God, saying, 'I am the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac and the God of Jacob?' He is not the God of the dead, but of the living. Have you not read? 'I am the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac and the God of Jacob.' He's not the God of the dead, but of the living. You go back and read about the death of Abraham, and it says, Abraham died, and he was gathered to his people. He's not the God of the dead. He is the God of the living. You're mistaken. You don't know the Scripture, and you don't know the power of God. Why didn't they know the Scripture? Because they were too busy trying to prove their false belief that there's no resurrection from the dead. That's why they didn't know the Scripture. Look at all the things they had to deny to support what they were trying to teach. It wasn't possible for them to know the Scripture. They just had to black out their mind because they had this one thing, this one focus to prove there's no resurrection from the dead. I don't really know why they believed in God at all if they didn't believe in a resurrection from the dead. Who wants this to be all there is? Not me. Who wants this to be all there is? I don't. I don't know why they believed in God at all, but they did. And they even spoke out of His Word. You are mistaken. Have you not read? And then John 5 and verse 39 I'd like to look at. And just a few verses down to verse 47. You search the Scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life. And it is these that bear witness of me. And you are unwilling to come to me that you may have life. I do not receive glory from men, but I know you that you do not have the love of God in yourselves. I have come in my Father's name and you do not receive me. Listen to what he says. If another shall come in his own name, you will receive him. I have come in my Father's name, and you do not receive me. If another comes in his own name, him you will receive. That's crazy, isn't it? But it happens all the time. It happens all the time. It goes on daily in this world. Men will receive men, but they will not, they refuse to receive God. It's crazy. That video I was talking about, he said he was on the phone with a guy ordering a duck call. He said the guy was cursing and swearing God's name. And he said, I finally stopped him and said, why are you cursing? The only one that can save you. He said there was just silence. And the guy said, hey, you got my order? He said, yeah, I got your order. Click. He called him back twice after that. On the second call, he said, it's just a 10-hour drive out here. Anytime you want to hear about the one who can save you, I know you can make that drive. And then he hung up the phone. Like he didn't beg him or baby him or plead with him or coddle him or nothing. He just said, click. Anytime you think you want to make that 10-hour drive, I'll tell you about the one that can save you. Any of you guys see that on Facebook? It was good. It was good. Eventually, he said the guy made the 10-hour drive. He said he had a knock on his door one day, and there he was. And he baptized him into Christ. That's all it takes. It just takes the Word of God. Search the Scripture. Search the Scripture. Search the Scripture. Because in it you think you have eternal life. And it is these that bear witness of me. And you are unwilling to come to me that you may have life. You're unwilling. Just won't do it. Won't turn from your self-will and your pride. How can you believe when you receive glory from one another and you do not seek the glory that is from the one and only God? Do not think that I will accuse you before the Father. The one who accuses you is Moses, in whom you have set your hope. For if you believe Moses, you would believe me, for he wrote of me. But if you do not believe his writings, how will you believe my words? Search the Scripture. Have you not read? I'd like to conclude with a verse here in Revelation chapter 20. And you know how easy it was in school to take an open book test. That was pretty nice, wasn't it? I don't know what they do in school anymore. When I was in school, we weren't even allowed to use a calculator. An open book test was nice, especially if you'd been doing your homework and reading that geography book or that history book or whatever it was, and the teacher said, we're going to have an open book test. But when the teacher said, put all your books, put everything away, we're having a pop quiz. And you're like sweating bullets. What are we having a pop quiz on? We're just having a pop quiz. Get out a piece of paper and a pencil. Right now, we have an open book test. Right now. I don't know what you're doing with it as an individual. I don't know what you're doing with it. I know if you're not reading this, you're not growing. It's not possible. It isn't possible. You won't change. You won't have the desire to lead anyone else to Christ. You won't have a desire to become a better husband or a better wife or a better parent or a better brother or sister or servant. It's not possible. It's just not possible. I know there's all kinds of reading material out there. I know that there is. I know there's all kinds of books. There's all kinds of authors that make you feel warm and fuzzy. I know all that stuff's out there. But this is the book. Right here. This is the book. And it's all you need. It's all you need to make you productive as a child of God. John says in the Revelation, I saw a great white throne and him who sat upon it, from whose presence earth and heaven fled away, and no place was found for them. You ever heard that song, I Can Only Imagine, by Mercy Me? My first exposure to it was on that Team Hoyt video, if you've seen that. So I Googled that. I didn't even know the name of the group. And they sing, I Can Only Imagine When That Day Comes, What It Will Be Like When I Look Upon Your Face. And there's several inquiries made. Will I bow down before you? Will I dance before you? Or will I in awe of you be still? It says here that sitting on that throne, from whose presence earth and heaven fled away, and there was no place found for them. I saw the dead, the great and the small, standing before the throne, and books were opened. Another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged from the things which were written in the books according to their deeds. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and Hades gave up the dead which were in them, and they were judged, every one of them, according to their deeds. And death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death, the lake of fire. And if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. It's an open book test right now. When the day of judgment comes, it's completed. When my life ends here on this earth, my physical life ends here, it's completed. The book is closed. Everything that could have been done or should have been done or left undone is done. My name is either recorded in the book of life or it is not. And it won't matter. It won't matter on this day. All of the opinions and having your ears scratched and seeking out teachers to tell you the things that you want to hear because of the way that you wanted to live your life here on this earth, it just won't matter. None of it's going to matter. It's like today, if you get pulled over by the State Highway Patrol and you don't have your seatbelt on, he doesn't care what your opinion on it is. He's going to write you the ticket. And you can pay it or not pay it, but if you don't, you're just furthering your trouble. And that's the way it's going to be on that day. It won't matter. I mean, wouldn't it be something to have the Lord look at us on the judgment day and just and he says something to us and we question him, we say, Didn't you ever read that? Didn't you ever read that? What do you mean you don't know? Didn't you ever read that? I just want to encourage you today to get your book out and read it. It isn't hard to understand. It isn't hard to follow, except when your pride and your self-will get in the way and you determine, I'm not going to do that. And maybe you need a big change in your life. And it's going to require a lot of effort, but it'll be worth it. Paul said, I reckon that the sufferings of this present age are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed in us. It's not even a consideration. Maybe you need to make a big change. Maybe you're here this morning and you're not a child of God. We've already watched Owen. He became a child of God. It was great. And we're just here to help you do that. There's nothing about whoever puts you under the water. That's just a servant. That's just a minister. The power is in the blood of Christ. And if you're here this morning and you're not a child of God, we're asking you to come today. Be willing, as Owen was, to confess him. Confess Jesus before this group of people and to be willing to be buried in the waters of baptism. It's there that we contact the blood of Christ. We do our part. God does his part. Then and only then are you saved. And you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Owen's already got that. You ought to talk to him about that after a while. You see them hands go up? Owen received the gift of the Holy Spirit. We don't think about that enough. We don't think about that enough. That's why the Ethiopian eunuch went on his way rejoicing, and you can do the same thing today. And if you need our prayers for any reason, we ask that you come.